Well, we surely need the Lord this morning. Man can talk, but man's talk doesn't benefit unless the Spirit of the Lord make it alive to us and translate it to the needs of our hearts and our lives individually. I'm convinced of the truth of that song that we sang, Heaven Will Surely Be Worth It All. We sometimes will raise our hands in song as affirmation, as testimony that my heart says amen to this, that I'm in agreement with this, or this resonates with me, and my heart says amen to it. And I got a picture in my mind's eye of a cloud of witnesses who have gone before us, who if they were to hear this song, would surely every one of them raise their hand and say, I can say for certainty it was worth it all. May the Lord help us to be faithful until we can join that number. I'd like for us to look in the book of 1 Chronicles. Burden that I have this morning feels like a bit of a continuation of what the Lord had given last week, about a full measure. Whenever the Lord, so often we see throughout the Bible, when the Lord would work with mankind, the Lord used man. Whenever the Lord wanted to do something, use the example, I believe, of the Lord feeding the 5,000, the Lord used what a little boy had. But the Lord wanted something to be given to him, and believe that the Lord is looking for that from us today. It's the Lord that does the work in our lives, but the Lord wants for us and is looking for us to be willing to present ourselves a living sacrifice, to be willing to give of ourselves to him. And there's something of a proportionality, a law of proportionality. The extent to which I give myself to the Lord has something to do with the extent to which he can fill me and the extent to which he can work in my life. I'd like to look here at a story that we're familiar with, a time of the history of the children of Israel. We speak about fairly often. But whenever the Lord wanted to step into the history of his people and wanted to be able to dwell among them as a people, the Lord had ordained in the wilderness the building of the tabernacle that would be packed up and that would move as the children of Israel went. And it was there that his presence would dwell among them. And they could look and behold from a distance. They could see the manifestation of his presence and of his glory by form of a cloud in the day and a pillar of fire by night. And they learned, whenever that stays, we better stay. And whenever that moves, it's time for us to move as well. That's the glory of the Lord. We've seen what that glory is able to do. We've seen what the Lord's able to do whenever there are those who would offer strange fire unto the Lord. We see what the Lord is able to do. And whenever there are those that rise up in rebellion, we've seen the earth open up a little later down in their story. We've seen what happens whenever the Lord's presence and his power is manifested. The instance that I'd like to look at here is the building of the temple. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. David had the desire and the vision to build the temple. David made preparation for it. But it wasn't of the Lord's plan and of his will because of the blood that he had shed and that was on his hands that he wouldn't be the one to build it. But he was to make the preparation for it, and he prepared his son Solomon to finish the work that he left him. 29th chapter, first verse says, furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great. For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God the gold for things to be made of gold, and the silver for things of silver, the brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron, and wood for things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistering stones of divers colors, and all manner of precious stones and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good, of good gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. There was something here that he recognized, and we read of Solomon's sentiment. He said, Lord, the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I build for thee? I don't believe they were approaching this half-heartedly. I don't believe they were casual and cavalier about how we're going to go about this, that it's just an afterthought of how we throw something together for the Lord because it's expected or we've got to do it. But he said, I have prepared with all my might. My heart is in this thing. My desire is to the house of the Lord. Don't we read of the words of David so many times in that place, to dwell in his holy hill and in the temple of the Lord and to behold his glory all the days of his life? That was the one thing that he desired and sought after. Lord, I want to be able to see your presence and your glory. This is not for me. This is not about me. Lord, this is about you. This is about your work and your cause. Oh, may the Lord help us today that we never lose our vision. That we never lose our sight of what we're doing in our lives, of what this is really all about. I spoke a bit last week about the way that we are to work. Scripture was speaking specifically to the servants that they not be as men pleasers, doing eye service as unto men. In other words, just going through the motions or doing the bare minimum of what I can get by with. I've got to check in or clock in at 7 o'clock and I can go home at 3:30 and I've seen them lining up at the clock 15, 20 minutes before. Just as early as I can get by with it, I'm ready to get out of here. And I understand that. That's not my life. That's not the extent of what I live for either. But you know, the Lord said, put your heart into it as unto the Lord. Everything that we do, there's a scripture in Ecclesiastes that says, the 9th chapter and the 10th verse, whatsoever your hand findeth to do, do it with your might. Put your heart into it. Don't just do it lackluster or half-hearted, with a half measure. Don't just go part way. Because if you go halfway, you're going to get half of a measure in return. But put your whole heart into it. And that's what David here did. Lord, this is for you. This is not, he said here in the first verse, it's not for man, but for the Lord God. Why do we do the things that we do? Why do you do the things that you do? Is it for man? Is it for our own selfish fulfillment or enjoyment in life? Or is it for the Lord? Whether therefore we eat or drink, whatsoever we do, do all to the glory of God. Paul said, herein do I labor. Whether, I believe he said, absent or present, that we may be accepted of the Lord. That's what my heart and my desire and my motivation for what I do. So he had a vision. There's something here that I want to build for the Lord. And my heart's in it, and I want to see this thing through to completion. Let's pick up again here in the 6th verse. Then the chief of the fathers and the princes of the tribes of Israel and the captains of thousands and of hundreds with the rulers of the king's work offered willingly and gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents and 10,000 drams of silver, 10,000 talents, etc. And they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasurer of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, "Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever." You know, so many people in the world today are searching for meaning in life. They're searching for purpose and what my meaning is and fulfillment or satisfaction in some place. Many times selfishly. I want to satisfy and please and gratify my own self. And yet, by the ways of sin, it's never found in fulfillment or satisfaction. There's never a full measure that you're able to find out in sin. It leaves with it instead an emptiness and a shallowness. But do you know that it says here that the people rejoiced? Did you notice what they had just done? They had just given the things that were most precious to them. They had just sacrificed it and given it away. And here they are rejoicing. You know, there's something of the secret of true satisfaction and fulfillment that's only found in giving ourselves with a whole heart unto the Lord. Giving ourselves, as the scripture says here, with a perfect heart, willingly. Not with a divided heart, not with instability of a double-minded man, but Lord, I'm giving myself willingly with a perfect heart. That is the service that the Lord is looking for from every one of us. And it is in that service and in that place where I'm willing to give of myself, not grudgingly, for we read in 2 Corinthians, I believe it is, that we're not to give to the Lord grudgingly or of necessity because it's required of me. But there's something of the heart. There's a work in the heart that the Lord has done that changes the whole picture of what I'm doing in my life and what I'm giving that doesn't become a drudgery. But there is a joy and a satisfaction and a rejoicing that comes with giving ourselves wholly to the Lord. Are you noticing a theme throughout this passage that we've read? Several places it says, we have offered willingly. I've set my affection with all my might. I'd like to turn and look at the book of Haggai here. I believe we'll come back to 1 Chronicles. Haggai, the first chapter. There came a time whenever the children of Israel were taken into captivity, the house of the Lord plundered, left in disrepair and neglected for many years. Whenever they were restored into their land, the Lord sent this prophecy, sent this word by Haggai the prophet. Thus speaketh the Lord in verse 2, saying, "This people say the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built." Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, "Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why? Saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man into his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. We realize today in the dispensation that we live in that we don't go into a temple like this where we have the Holy of Holies that we send the high priest into once a year and thank the Lord for it. What a more perfect and more beautiful plan we have today. Whenever Jesus said it is finished and the veil of that temple was rent in twain and opened up and access made now for every one of us to go into the Holy of Holies ourselves. And now as the scriptures bear out in the New Testament, we are the temple of the living God. We are to present our bodies as that living sacrifice and that temple unto the Lord. But you know, whenever I bring this down to where I live today in my life, you know, the Lord is wanting us to consider our ways, to consider my ways in my life. What have I made priority in my own heart? Have I given unto the Lord willingly? Have I put His work and His cause first in my life? Or am I doing at times like the children of Israel here did under Haggai, where they were going and they were building their own houses and they were taking care of their own things? Is it not necessary to rebuild your own houses and to have a place to live? But yet the passage of time had gone by and the house of the Lord was still lying by neglected. They hadn't invested their time and their energy and their passion into rebuilding that. They had gotten into a mode of their lives where they were focused on their own things and their own possessions and their own household. And He said, you live here now in sealed houses, but yet my house is lying over there waste. The things of God, the service of the Lord is lying waste. You know, we can go through our lives with its busyness and distractions and cares and necessary responsibilities. And I can, if I'm not careful in my own life, remembering that it's not about a literal temple today, but this temple is the heart that I've given unto the Lord. I can go by and there are places of that temple that are in disrepair. The shutters are sagging. It's been, you've been by some of the houses that you can tell they haven't really put much into it. Maybe at one time, and it's sad to see at times, you go by a really nice large house that you can tell at one time that was a beautiful home. But now the weeds are growing up, the shutters are sagging, the paint's peeling, and the gutters are hanging down. And you look at it and you realize somebody hasn't put their heart into this place. Somebody's allowed it to go to disrepair. But how easily it happens. It doesn't require any deliberation. It doesn't require any determination that I want the gutters to begin falling down. It just requires a little neglect. It requires a little distraction and a little time. And it'll begin by the elements to fall into disrepair. And so our own life, our own walk with the Lord, our temple, if not maintained and given our full heart and effort to, over time will begin also to fall into disrepair. And there was a consequence that the children of Israel found. As they were focused on their own things and planting their own vineyards and fields and all, they were finding that they weren't as fulfilled as they thought they should have been. I'm expending all this effort and I'm just not getting much back from it. I'm just not getting much of a return on what I'm investing. You know, the enemy's not going to get anyone into a place of giving up on the Lord when they're on fire for the Lord. When they're loving the Lord with all their heart and the next day they throw it away and give up on the Lord. It doesn't work that way. The enemy wants to get us distracted over time, where I begin focusing more on my own things than the things of the Lord. My own time rather than time for the Lord. And I get into a place then that I start finding as I invest less and less into this, I get less and less in return. And as I get less and less in return, I'm not satisfied. I'm not as fulfilled. Folks, we can begin, if we're not careful, to find this in our walk with the Lord. Where I get into a place that the Word of God, it seems like it's just dry, and there will be seasons and times that we go through. Now the Lord wants to test us, and our determination that I'm going to follow wholly after the Lord, regardless of feeling or emotion and the tide of it. But as I get into a place that I can begin to get distracted, or my cares and my affections drawn to other things, I'll find that I get less and less from my service for the Lord. I can come to worship service and I can leave feeling like I just didn't get that much out of it. I just didn't really do that much for me. I want us to be challenged this morning to consider our ways, my ways. Because as we spoke last week, there is a proportionality to this. You know, if I'm not getting a whole lot out of it, I need to examine and ask myself, what am I putting into it? What am I investing into this thing? Because again, as they found themselves investing and expending all their energy and all their efforts into their own things, they were getting less and less in return because the Lord was blowing on it. And it came to nothing before them. Back to 1 Chronicles 29. Says verse 11, Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is Thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and Thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of Thee, and Thou reignest over all, and in Thy hand is power and might, and in Thine hand is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, O God, we thank Thee and praise Thy glorious name. But who am I, and what is this people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of Thee, and of Thine own have we given Thee. Do you know the Lord is our reasonable service? The scripture here says, and they had the realization, Lord, all these things that I've given to You, they came from You anyway. They're not my own. Lord, You gave them unto us. You entrusted it unto us. But Lord, it came from Your own hand, and we're just giving it back to You. Should that not be our mindset and our way of approaching the Lord? Lord, it came of You. This isn't my own time. This isn't my own things or my own possession. Lord, it all comes of You. And I give it back, and they gave it willingly. Verse 17, I know also, my God, that Thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things. Now have I seen with joy Thy people, which are present here, to offer willingly unto Thee. Like for us to consider another, what I'll call parallel passage to this in Exodus Chapter 35. Exodus 35, in this setting, it's preparation for the building of the tabernacle. Won't read all of this, but I'd like to begin in verse 4 of the 35th chapter. And Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, This is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and ram skins dyed red and badger skins and shittim wood and oil for the light, spices for anointing oil and for the sweet incense. And they went on down through the list of the things that were needed according to the pattern that the Lord had given for the building of the tabernacle. You remember the place that the Lord said, I believe it was in Psalms, He said, If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for all the world is mine and the fullness thereof. I wouldn't, if I had a lack, I would have no need to tell thee or to ask of thee. The Lord doesn't come to us because He's incapable of supplying for a need, but the Lord came to the people here. And if you look back in the story of the children of Israel, as they were leaving Egypt, the Lord impressed somehow upon the hearts of all their neighbors to go and give unto the children of Israel. Can you imagine that? They come over knocking on the door perhaps and don't know what explanation they gave, but I want to give this to you. I want to give you these, possessions. And so they left the land of Egypt, not impoverished or without anything, but the Lord had given a favor unto them. The Lord had entrusted something unto them. You know, they didn't have perhaps any way of knowing why or for what, to what end or what use it was, but the Lord had a purpose and a plan. I want to dwell among them. I want to have a tabernacle that I can build and I can be in the very midst of them. But I want it to be something that the people contribute to. I want it to be something that they all put their heart into. And so the time came where, if you'll notice throughout this story, this is not like a popular theory in our nation today of, let's take it from the rich. They've got more than this person over here, so let's go confiscate it and we're going to take it against their will. That's not what the Lord did here. That's not the kind of service or giving that the Lord looks. The scriptures bear that out, that the Lord is not looking for that kind of giving. That's not what we do in tithing today. The New Testament dispensation is something of the heart and not something external in the form of tithing. But it is as the Lord lays on every one of our hearts. Lord, I want to do this. There's a need that I see. Lord, you've impressed on my heart. And maybe sometimes it hurts. Maybe sometimes it's more than 10%. Maybe it's less. Lord, whatever you ask, it's yours. Because you're the one that gave it unto me. And it only works in one way. It works by love. That's the way this faith works. It's a faith that worketh by love. It's the way this experience and salvation with the Lord works. When we put our whole heart fully into it, offering willingly. Let's look at the way this happened. It didn't say Moses's Children of Israel revenue service passed by the tents of the congregation. But it says in verse 20, all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses after having heard the needs that was before them, an explanation of the vision of the desire to build a tabernacle unto the Lord. And it says here they came. Everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garments. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, and brought bracelets, and earrings, and rings, and tablets, and jewels of gold. And every man that offered, offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. Throughout all these substances or these things or materials that the Lord wanted, that the builders had need of to build this tabernacle, the people had it. It was among the people. The Lord had already made provision for this. But it was then up to the people that you're going to have to be willing to open your hands and your heart. You're going to have to be willing to respond, that you have your heart in this, that you feel a tugging within you, and that you're the one that says, I want to give this to the Lord. That's the way this works. And you notice in our world today, I don't know that this is anything new, but in our world, many times buildings that are built or stadiums that are built, you'll see somebody's name attached to it. This is the so-and-so stadium. This is the so-and-so hospital, or named after somebody who donated perhaps a large sum of money. And as payment or as benefit to that, they get their name placed on a building. You know, that's not, if you notice throughout these passages, that's not what the building of the Lord's tabernacle was. That's not what the Lord's designed. It's not the way that he works. That there was one. That this was the tabernacle of Moses. That it was only those that were rich that brought of their possessions. The work of the Lord still today is not a one-man show. The work of the Lord in any area that you look, it's not man's work. It's not a man's congregation. It's not a man's mission work. It is the Lord's work. And the way that the Lord contributes to his work is not by one person or by one man, but it's as all of his people put into it with a willing heart. that I want to contribute my part. Not all were called to give gold. There were some that had ram skins, and they gave the ram skins. There were others, if you read down throughout this chapter, who had ability. There were those who with their hands were able by skill to perform a trade or some work. And so they contributed and they gave that unto the Lord. There were some that were able to teach others how to do these things, and they contributed that. You know, the enemy, I believe, would like to get us into a place that we begin to feel isolated from the rest of his people. That we begin to feel like I'm on my own little island. I begin to feel a little bit independent. Folks, this work of God is not an independent thing. Yes, we all are to work out our own salvation in fear and in trembling. But yeah, the Lord has placed the solitary, the scripture says, in families. The Lord wants this to be a work that glorifies the Lord. It doesn't glorify man. It doesn't glorify some head or chief. It's not confined in our time to only business people who do this. It is so prevalent in our religious world today. It doesn't take very long to realize who's the head honcho, to realize who's the chief among all, who's the one that runs things around here, or whose name is posted maybe on banners or billboards, or whose the buildings are named after, and so forth. But I read something different in the work of the Lord. And I want us, I know we're looking back thousands of years into a different era and a different dispensation, but I want us to be able to draw the parallel and the connection to our day today. The work of the Lord today is still great. The work of the Lord today is still going forward. May the Lord help us to take heart in our generation. When the enemy would try to get us discouraged and saying, you know, people just don't want it anymore. You know, you see this one that's gone away and that one that's gone away, and people just don't want the truth. You know, if we observe the wind, we'll never sow. If we observe the clouds, we're never going to put our heart into this thing. The Lord's not calling for us to just sit back and just draw into myself, but He's wanting me to have a vision. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Of a work that's greater than any one man or any one person. That's greater than what I am. There's a cause and a purpose that's greater than what my own little life is. Oh Lord, help me to see in my life what my purpose is, what my calling is. Lord, what is it that you've given me in my hands? The Lord's a reasonable service. The Lord doesn't call for something that I don't possess. The Lord doesn't call for something that He has not given to me. What the Lord calls for. I remember going down to an altar of prayer when the Lord dealt with me to be sanctified. And Brother Larry met me there and said, the Lord's not looking for your ability. The Lord's looking for your availability. Well, the Lord is looking. He doesn't need really what you have. The Lord doesn't really just need because of a lack that He has. But He's looking for your willingness. Just like with the children of Israel here. The Lord wanted them to feel that stirring within them. Oh, may the Lord help us that that stirring never die out from our hearts. That we never get into a place that I don't feel the stir of the call of the Spirit. That I not feel the stir of the needs of souls that are around me. Of the needs of my brethren that are in the congregation. And the responsibility that we have one to another to encourage and to edify and to provoke one another unto good works. It's easy for us, and the enemy wants to get us into a place that I begin to close up into myself. That I begin to get distracted by my own needs and the building of my own little house, where I fail to see the greater picture. I fail to see the greater plan and pattern that the Lord has laid out. That this thing that I've given you, this ability that I've given you, this special, unique characteristic or personality that you have, I need that. I want that from you. I want you with a perfect heart to offer willingly unto me.
Putting your heart into it. You ever noticed what
people's tendency is many times when a volunteer is asked for. If I were to look out among you and say, could I have a volunteer to come draw a picture on the board? You notice why I've noticed it at work sometimes? If maybe don't want to just directly so-and-so, go do this. I want you to go do that. Could I have a volunteer? Seen it with children. We found, and I think I can say this because it's not unique, I hope, to ours. But whenever you say, would someone go get this for me? Would someone go pick that up? Well, someone could mean the other three as well. Well, someone also means one of the others, so I'm going to just duck my head and act like I didn't hear, or just assuming that somebody else is going to go pick up the slack. Do we quit doing that whenever we hit 18? Lord, help us when it comes to the things of God. Because I don't want to be one of those. When there's a need that's seen, that I duck my head, I shift my eyes, somebody else will do it. Somebody else will take care of that. Somebody else will see that need. Somebody else will be there. Oh, but that we would see the responsibility that I have unto the work of the Lord. That there would be something according to what's working in me for the love that I have for God. There would be something that stirs me up to say, Lord, I want to see this go forward. Lord, I want to see your kingdom prosper. I want to see your kingdom grow. I want to see your people encouraged and challenged and strengthened and edified. That's what my heart is. So Lord, what does that mean for me? I don't believe that stops at the age of 18. And I'll say this because I've been in a number of congregations, and it's in, I would say, every congregation I've been in. There can be a tendency sometimes whenever there's a need. It's time to pray. Well, Brother So-and-so, if I don't, Brother So-and-so will step in and he'll pray. I can know that Sister So-and-so will pray because they're... And over time it gets to where Brother So-and-so and Sister So-and-so are always the ones that pray. And you know, I'm thankful for the Brother and Sister So-and-sos who are willing, and the Lord wants us to be in a place that if nobody else does, I'm not just going to sit back on my hands and watch things fall apart. I'm not just going to come to service and somebody else will have a song. Somebody else will come inspired on their heart with a song from the Lord. And I'm just going to sit, well, if nobody else does, I want to see this thing go forward. But you know, I believe the Lord has more than that. I believe the Lord wants this work to be about more than just one or two or three of the faithful few that are keeping this thing together, that are causing this thing to still go forward. The Lord is wanting every one of our hearts to be in this. Every one of us to be willingly giving to the Lord. Lord, I want to see this thing prosper. Lord, if you want me to do something that I haven't done. You know, there are some things that I don't think we have to seek the Lord for years to ask if it's what the Lord's will is. If the trash needs taken out, I don't need to ask the Lord, Lord, is that my place in the body? Whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Whatsoever, where there's a need and an opportunity, the Lord wants there to be something within us that stirs me up, that says, Lord, I'll fill that need. Lord, I'm willing to take care of that. Lord, I'm willing to step up. I want to bring my part unto the Lord. The scripture says in approaching the Lord that every one of us are to bring an offering to the Lord. Come before the Lord, bring an offering unto the Lord and worship Him in the beauty of His holiness. I have no intention or desire to be political in any of these comments, but people have tried this idea of taxation to the point that we're satisfied. Taxation to the point that, all right, now everybody's got everything they want and there's no more need or no more disparity between classes. Everybody's happy and on an equal plane. It's been tried. And sometimes under the cloak of Scripture. But I want to remind us again of a key ingredient that's left out. If your heart's not in it, if you're not giving of a willingness and of a desire, it doesn't work. And that's what the Lord is looking for from us to cause His work to go forward, is a willingness on every one of our part. I'd like to consider Nehemiah. Another instance where the walls of the city had been torn down and was in disrepair. Nehemiah had a burden and a desire to go and rebuild the walls of the city, to rebuild the city, and he was granted a pass or immunity. He was granted permission to go and to carry forth this work. If you'll remember, there were enemies who were opposed to that, as there are still today and as there always have been to the work of the Lord going forth. Sanballat, others who would try by one means or another to distract or to overrun him or to call him out to negotiate and draw them away from the city by one means or another to try to hinder the work. But you'll read here in Nehemiah, and because of time's sake, we won't read much here, but you'll read that they strengthened their hands in the work. There was a time that, as a consequence of all the opposition that they were facing, that they began to get discouraged in their work. Their hands began to get slack in the work. And Nehemiah had to have what you might call a pep talk with them. And he told them, remember, brethren, remember your wives and your sons and your daughters, and do it for their sakes. Remember what this is all about. Remember the vision, because without that vision, the people are going to perish. If I don't have a vision of what this is all about, I don't have a vision of the church, I don't have a vision of why I do the things that I do, they'll be very prime candidates for the enemy to come along and rob away from us. So they strengthened themselves in the work. They got to a place, it says, in one place where they were especially vulnerable to attack, that they wrought with one hand in the work and the other hand held a weapon. I'm not stopping. I'm still building. Because there's a work that still needs to go forward. And you know, in our time, we still must be in defense. The enemy today is encamped around about the camp of the saints. The enemy is looking for every opportunity to destroy, to tear down, to find an inroad into the camp of the saints. May the Lord help us to be on our guard. Oh, may the Lord help us to be watchmen on the wall. Watchmen looking out in our own homes, our own households, my own life, among our congregations. Where's the enemy trying to work? What's the enemy trying to do? What attitudes does the enemy have attached it to me? Oh, Lord, help us to be able to see where the enemy's at work. But it wasn't just a weapon they were building with the other hand. The work of God was still going forward, and we see throughout history, at times of some of the greatest persecution of the church, the work of God still went forth. The work of God they were still engaged in. They were still pressing forward in. And the work, although the enemy tried to destroy and hinder in any way he could, the building of the walls continued. Today, are we still building? It's a great work that's before us. The needs are greater than what any one of us could ever hope to fill. But you know, the Lord will take the faithful few if He must. And the Lord will still cause His church to go forth in victory until the final judgment. But you know, I believe that the Lord has something more for us. I believe the Lord wants for this vision to catch like wildfire, for there to be a desire that burns within everyone. I want to be a part of this. I want to, being a part is not being a bystander. It's not being a bench warmer. Lord, I want to put my heart into this. I want to be on the field. I want to be part of this. I want to see this going forward. Because I can sit by and just assume everybody else will take care of the needs that are. And so I'm going to stand by and watch or enjoy, and I still want to see it go forward. But folks, the Lord wants us to put into this. to invest. We read here in Nehemiah, as they ordered the work of the building of the walls, it wasn't Nehemiah's wall, but you can read throughout a name here in the third chapter of a number of different families. It'll say this one worked over against this gate, and this one had this section of the wall that he built on, and this one built over against his house, and they ordered the work so that it was according to all of the people. It was all of them putting in, I have my little section. Folks, the Lord is calling for us to be faithful to what little section of the wall that he has put me on and what little place that he's put you on. But it is as we all contribute together and put in to my little part and you putting into your little part that the Lord will bless the work to go forward. There can be ways that the enemy tries to hinder in this work. One can be a fear of inadequacy. Somebody else could do it better. Oh, somebody else could preach better, could pray better, could testify better, could visit better, could clean better, could somebody else could do it better. But the Lord's asking, what's in your hand? Are you willing to give what little you have? Because I can sit and look at that all day saying, if only I had more. If only, you ever heard folks say, if I won the lottery, boy, I could sure have a lot to give to the Lord. I could help with this need and with that cause and with this work if I only won the lottery. And the Lord's saying, what are you going to do without winning the lottery? What are you going to do with the little that you have today? That's what the Lord's asking for. In every aspect of our service and our lives for the Lord. And I believe the second way the enemy tries to work is our hearts just aren't in it. It's hard to really get into something if our heart's not in it. As we read with the folks there in Haggai, I'd like for us to turn now to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 15 says, speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. I'd like to read to you the diaglot rendering from the Greek on the scripture. It says, from whom the whole body, being fitly joined and united by means of every assisting joint, according to the proportionate energy of each single part, affects the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Just as the building of the temple, the tabernacle, the rebuilding of the walls was not a one-man show. It was not about the pastor or the prophet or the priest or this one. It was to be all of them according to that which every one of them supplied of the gold, of the silver, of the skins, of the artisans that gave of their abilities and their skills, what every joint supplied, according to the giving of every single part. We don't look at just the single part, but it is the Lord who places together all the unique individual single parts, and he's able to fit it all together. Oh, it's a beautiful picture, and I hope today that we have a vision of that beautiful picture. This is not just another building among buildings. This is not just another church among churches that the Lord came to establish in the earth. But it is the church of the living God. He said, ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. The Lord wants to build us up today as lively stones fitted together, one with another. It's not about any one of us individually. But it's about as I fill the place that the Lord wants me to fill, what the Lord has given me to do, and I do it with all my heart, and you do the same. I can see my little part and I could get discouraged with that. Lord, there's not very much I can do in a world of so much need. Lord, there's so many needs in your body today. There's not very much I can do. I might as well just sit back. But the Lord's saying, you let me do the fitting together. You just bring your peace. And the Lord is able to fitly join together, or perfectly. You read there in the Old Testament, whenever they gave the instructions, you bring whole stones. Don't put any tool to it. You don't have to try to craft it according to your own hands, and so it is with the church of God today. The Lord doesn't want it to have our fingerprints all over it. The Lord wants it to have His fingerprints over it. The work of His Spirit and of love that is divine, that by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that a people can be fitly joined together by that and compacted together, contributing to this thing which every joint supplies. According to the proportionate energy of every part. Oh, whenever sometimes maybe I'd be tempted to sit back and maybe I go to a camp meeting or a service somewhere, a service in the congregation, and I think, you know, maybe I just didn't get a whole lot out of that meeting, or maybe it feels like I just didn't get a whole lot out of that particular service, or, you know, there's something of this working together that puts a responsibility on me. What did I bring to it? Because it said according to the proportionate energy of each single part. Whenever I'd sing, Lord, send the fire down. You know the way to do that? You know what believe it was the Cherokees, one of the Indian tribes did. They had a fire that they maintained in the center of the camp, and every one of them would take fire from that and go build their own fire in their own places, or they could bring what fire they had, coals, and rekindle that central one. You know, the Lord wants us to be able to come with a fire and an energy working within me. That the Lord's working in me and the Lord's working in you. His Spirit is guiding me and it's guiding you. And as we come together, the Lord says, now let me put it all together. Now you let me fit it all together the way I want this service to be. And I want this meeting to be. What are we putting into this? Maybe we start with the question, what do I want to get out of this? What do I want to be able to get out of it? Because it has something to do with what I'm putting into it. What I'm investing of myself into this. If I give of a partial measure, I'll get a partial measure in return. But if I give of full measure, if I give unto the work of the Lord with all my heart, the Lord has a way of multiplying what I bring. The Lord has a way of giving in return good measure, pressed down, shaken together, or shaken and running over. That the Lord can take what little I give that's given from a willing heart, a perfect heart, contributed with all my heart unto the Lord. And the Lord's able to take that and multiply it together and cause there to be an increase that is beyond just one can chase 100, two can chase 200, one can chase 100, you bring them together, two can chase 1,000. And there is a working together as we bring together our individual pieces with all of our heart. The Lord says, that's what I was looking for. Now let me put it together. Now let me fit it together in a work that's greater than any one of us, but yet that every one of us can be a part of. May the Lord help us that we'd be encouraged, that our hearts would be stirred to His work and to His cause. That's where, and I believe the only place that we find our real satisfaction and fulfillment in life, and giving myself wholeheartedly to the Lord and to His cause. You pray for me. Amen.